Hello.
Is it red?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yo, 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 yo. What it is, what it ain't, why come, how come, and once again, y'all, does it even fucking matter?
Welcome back to the pod. It's yet another episode of
Yes, we're black. Yo, what is good?
Hello.
I'm feeling this.
Good.
It's a beautiful day outside.
It is gorgeous outside.
I am just enjoying this weather. I went ahead and threw on a little short.
Mm-hmm, little hoochie daddy.
A little hooch and a daddy. You know, I've been waiting. And it's time. And, you know, the glass is called for it, I feel like, you know.
I agree.
You know, my best friend, matter-of-factly, got these for me. Not for me, but for me. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I gladly, thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Anytime.
I'm glad you didn't like them. They work for me.
Unlike those dang ski goggles that I got. I don't know why they look so crazy.
Yo.
I felt like I was skiing for real.
It did. It just wasn't. But that's okay.
I kind of want to get some new sunglasses.
What were you thinking?
Like TJ Maxx.
Oh, go to TJ Maxx? Mm-hmm. You want to go today?
Mm-hmm.
We have some time.
We do.
We always have time.
We
rushing to go and do nothing, basically. Well, to play games. We really trying to play the game.
Oh, today is my day. Don't even... Okay, fine.
We're not going to go.
Okay,
I mean, because
you
it
can
was...
mention it, but we also so... going to mention how you shaded me on...
Live. I didn't really mean it. It was just a little friendly competition. It wasn't a real big shade. It was just talking a little shit. You know how I am. I am a bad winner and I'm a bad loser. Okay, we have already discussed this.
It makes for an interesting competition.
Yes, yes, yes. But... Nicole couldn't win shit.
Nothing last weekend. I feel like it started last weekend on Friday, and it came all
and
the
it
way
just,
through.
And it came
Saturday.
On through.
Yeah.
But I needed some wins.
Yeah, you did.
I did
That's
need
fair.
Some wins. And yeah, that is fair. And you know what? And it felt good to be on live, because so the whole world can see.
Well, we're going to go on live today so that they can see me kick your
no,
ass.
No, we ain't doing it. No.
Oh, now we can't do it. Well, guess what? I have my own phone.
My live
with
broke.
Its own live.
What's up, T?
I even got my own stand. So who gonna stop me?
Oh, we went live on Friday.
No, we went live on Saturday. Friday, we were in Greensboro.
Oh, so how come you didn't have your stand?
I did. I just didn't.
You
go
just
online.
Didn't break it out. Okay.
Because wouldn't
okay.
we have echoed?
No, we're doing live together right now, nigga.
Oh.
When we invite each other to a live, that's when it echoes. So when we do that, that means that, you know, we can't be in the same room,
yeah.
basically.
Okay.
Anywho, how was your week, madam?
It was interesting.
Talk about it. Share.
I was off for
most
of the
week. Hold on. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, dang. I don't. Ooh, this is so bad.
I feel like you might not like it and you're going to make a face.
All right. We're going to try it out. Go ahead.
I'm going to wait for the face first.
That's not bad.
Okay. All right.
Not a really bad aftertaste.
Mm-mm. It just doesn't quite taste like the real thing, but it's like good.
It's good.
Yeah.
I like kind of like a no tasting, but there's a taste.
Yeah.
I can...
And it's nice and bubbly, which mm-hmm. I like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm down with it. Thank
We're talking
you.
About Poppy, in case you were
Poppy.
Wondering.
Oh, yes, yes. You know, check it out. It is pretty good. This is the cherry limeade.
Yes.
If you know me, everyone knows that I love a good limeade.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, you drink limeade all day.
Well, and I need to stop that shit. But, you know, back to you.
I was off most of the week. I was off until Thursday, mm-hmm. or Friday, I mean, which is kind of an interesting day to go back to work. Mm-hmm. But things were hectic. But
things were hectic, to say
on
the
Friday,
least.
Yeah. But should I talk about what I started now?
Mm-hmm.
So I started a diet
mm-hmm.
that is extremely hardcore.
Very.
And I can't have carbs. I can't have sugar of any kind, including in like dressings and like condiments. I'm not supposed to use salt.
But you're doing good.
I am doing
you're
good.
You're on your fifth day.
I am on my fifth day.
Mm-hmm.
I've lost a few pounds. And this is all prepping me, hopefully, for my bariatric surgery.
Literally about 10 pounds. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So just imagine.
Yeah. So I'm hopefully going to get surgery on the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
unless something comes up. But I'm excited, but I'm nervous. And it's definitely been a challenge sticking to the diet, but I got this.
Whatever folks want to call me. Jesus Christ. Anyway, go ahead.
But other than that, I mean, my week was pretty chill. I didn't really do much.
Very good, very good.
How well, was yours?
No, we're gonna stick with yours.
Oh.
So she's doing very well. This is my perspective. You know, I gotta give my little recap. Okay. So she's doing very well. I think you need to talk about like as far as what the sugar, not having the sugar and stuff did to you.
So well, I guess I'll tell the world. I had like a really dark mark.
Oh, you didn't
on
no,
my
no,
neck.
No, I wasn't talking about
no,
that.
No, no, no. Just
oh,
wait.
Oh, okay.
I had like a dark spot on my neck and I didn't know it was from sugar, but now that I'm not eating sugar, it went away. Mm-hmm. But I also like got extremely tired. Mm-hmm. Like extremely, like sleeping like 6 hours a day and sleeping all night. Mm. But
that's just the no carbs, no sugar.
Yeah,
and that's where you get your energy from.
Right. And mm-hmm. I feel like it was like low key sugar withdrawal because yeah. I've been on a sugar kick for right. a while now.
Which most of us are
yeah.
around sugar.
It's hard.
It's addictive.
It really is.
Yeah.
100%. So, but being off of it, I honestly feel a little bit better like than I did even before starting the diet
okay.
at this point.
Okay.
But it's just I run out of energy faster than I normally would.
Right, right.
So,
it's just your body trying to level out, trying to get itself together.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
Mentally, talk about how you are mentally.
Mentally, I'm trying my best. Mm-hmm. I try to live vicariously through Mickey and what she eats.
But I don't eat bad. I've
no,
been doing good.
But you still get to eat more than I do. So.
Yeah, I do.
I did also get a nugget ice maker, though it makes like Sonic ice.
Mm-hmm.
And that way my drinks are a little bit tastier and I can just crunch on the ice.
So Tia was saying, are you doing a Whole 30? I'm not sure what that means. And she was saying that it's also a dopamine response, so your body is also detoxing from dopamine.
Mm.
Oh, very interesting. Okay.
The diet is for 2 weeks.
Okay.
If that's what she meant by 30.
Okay, okay. Two-week diet to you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then after surgery, I'll be on an all-liquid diet for 2 weeks. And then, is something wrong?
No.
And then after that, I can do pureed foods.
Very good.
And then after that, I can eat regular food, but not
right.
very much.
It's just a process.
So it's going to take some time, but I'm excited that I've lost a little bit of weight already, mm-hmm. and it's just going to keep going.
Cool. And so Tia's over here encouraging you. She's saying
oh.
that, you know, you're going to be all right. You're going to have more energy, you know, once you get the healthy protein.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very, yeah. very protein intense diet.
Mm-hmm. She was saying B12 vitamins also
yeah.
can be helpful. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I'm not supposed to take any vitamins though right now up until surgery.
Okay. All right.
Not even my iron or my vitamin D that I'm prescribed. So
oh, she was saying the Whole 30 diet is a diet that sounds like what she was talking about. So I guess
okay.
it's a diet type.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. This is just the one that they gave me from the hospital. That's all
okay.
I know. It's
okay,
just a little
okay.
PDF that tells me what I can eat and what I can't eat and gives, like, recommendations for, like, recipes and how to make your protein shakes taste better and
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. So, but, yeah, I'm supposed to drink 3 protein shakes a day. 2 is my
That's
max.
Crazy. I wouldn't even
like,
be able to do that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, they don't taste very good.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, hard to choke them down. And then 3 of them? Like,
right, right.
Yeah, it's a lot. But I think it's all going to be worth it. It's
yeah.
just right now,
it just sucks
mentally,
right now.
It's mm-hmm. like, it's really hard.
It's a challenge.
It's definitely
yeah.
a challenge. And I honestly feel like this is going to be one of the hardest things that I go through or that I've gone through
mm-hmm.
in quite some time.
Right, right.
So,
mentally, because
yeah.
it's more mental
it is.
Than anything.
It is. So we will just keep giving you guys progress updates.
Yes,
we'll
yes.
see what happens.
But you know what, y'all? She is taking it like a champ, to be honest. Because, I mean, she was only bitchy to me for one day.
I was.
And I got off the phone very quickly. I was like, you're kind of being, all right, let's go. You have a good day. I love you. Bye. but yeah, it was, I think you're doing really, really good. And
thank you.
You just got to stick to it. Just keep put one foot behind or in front of each other. And I think you'll be fine.
Well, thank
and, you,
you
know, I'm here to support you.
Yes, and I appreciate that
and,
so much.
You know, and you know, like what we were talking about in the car, I'm not going to be like on your ass.
Yeah.
But if I see anything crazy, just a little friendly
and, like,
little.
I might, like, if I'm struggling, I might be like, Mickey, like, just remind me of, like, why I'm doing this.
Yeah,
like, you know
definitely,
what I mean?
Definitely.
Because there's going to be some
it's,
days,
it
I'm
is.
Sure,
it
that
is.
I'm just like.
And honestly, I am going as much as I can as possible for my limits and stuff. I'm going to try to mirror what you're doing. So, like, when we were hanging out, we're eating the same
eating
things
healthy,
and
yeah.
eating healthy and stuff like that. And I don't think we eat terrible.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Don't.
It's just, like,
I like to eat out a lot.
And the pound cake. Oh, update. Have not had a pound cake.
Oh.
For a whole week now.
For a whole week.
I did have a blueberry muffin, but that's all I've had.
And no pound cake.
No pound cake.
Didn't tear it up.
Didn't tear. Oh, my God. And I've been, like, thinking about it. I just drive past that place and just, just so long. See you later. But anywho, but yeah, overall, I am very proud of you.
Well, thank you.
You got five down, 5 days down.
Mm-hmm, which means I have, what, 9 to go?
9 to go of the hard diet.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, then you get the surgery, you know, I took the day off.
I appreciate
You're
that.
You're
going
to be all right. We're going to get you taken care of and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
You'll be fine. You'll
I'm
be
sure.
Fine. You'll be all right.
But how are you? What's happening?
My week was pretty good. I was off on Friday for no reason.
I love
and,
that.
And I didn't do a damn thing until like 12 o'clock midnight. And then I cleaned my whole fucking house and just felt bad because I laid around all day. But other than that, my week was really, it was just a regular week. Nothing really going on. I can't think of, did anything happen? I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything either.
No, nothing.
It was a pretty boring week, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. And then to be out, everyone's asking me at work, like, what are you going to do? I'm like, not a damn
Absolutely
thing.
Absolutely nothing. And it's going to be amazing.
Right. And I just laid in the bed with Rocky and just chilled. I was about to say Max.
Oh, Max. I miss Max.
I miss Max. That was my old dog, my relationship dog.
Right.
He's still alive. He's still kicking.
Good.
Max got to be like almost 10 years old now.
Mm, yeah.
He's old
elderly.
Nigga. He an old nigga. But yeah, that was pretty much my week. Was like you said, it was boring. Nothing going on. This is the highlight, pretty much.
Well, here we are.
And it's beautiful. Today is so beautiful, y'all.
It really is.
I'm so
excited.
And
it said it's a high of 74, but my car says 78.
Mm.
And not like when I first started it, like after driving it. So.
Oh, like when I was like, oh, it's 80 degrees outside. No, Mickey, your car's been sitting for a second. So I like the little new mics. You know, they got a little new setup.
Mm-hmm.
They're a little high.
Fix this, though.
Yeah, but we have a fix for ourselves, so. We ain't even got to worry about it. So thank God for that. And, you know, so that was a good move by you.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? When you put two heads, two good.
Girl.
Okay, I was going. Great minds think alike.
Yes.
I was going to say some weird shit that was going to require a pause. But anyway, what we got going on today?
You start. What you got?
Okay. So I watched. Well, actually, I want to talk about because the podcast is going to lead to the.
Okay.
What you call it? What I talked about, but okay. So the beef, the big beef.
There's a lot of beef.
There's a
right
lot
now.
Of beef. Okay, so you want to start? We can start with the Drake beef. So Drake's. So as everyone knows, the big three: Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and J. Cole. J. Cole has royally bowed out. He apologized to Kendrick Lamar for the 7-minute drill.
I thought that was crazy.
Thing. I kind of get it. Okay, so here's my stance on it. Like, I get where he's trying to go. As far as the apologizing, I understand because he, it's like he doesn't want to joust in an ugly way.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to like, oh, talk about his dude. Cause they're good friends. You know what I mean? And I guess he didn't want to fight the fight that is going to have to be fought in order to make a wave.
Yeah.
And I think some of the things that were done and said online, I think was more malicious than what he is trying to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's real kind of a grassroots, earthy kind of guy. So he's in deep thought and stuff. And so I think in his mind, he doesn't want to cause, like, strife between two brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's kind of where he's coming from, if I'm, like, taking it the right way.
It's just crazy that he let it release if he was having any feelings like that.
So then he was transparent when he was saying that, you know, he had let outside people and people in his camp and people that he know, like, nigga, you need to reply back because of what Kendrick said on Like That with Future and Metro Boomin. And so, like, I get trying, it's like, if you're going to stand on it, my guy, you can't take a jab, because it was a hard, like, 7-minute drill was a hard verse, but it wasn't like a knockout punch.
Right.
It was kind of like a jab.
Didn't he get some of, like, the timeline of Kendrick's albums out? Like, doesn't Kendrick have 4 albums, but he only mentioned 3?
Yeah, I don't know how, like, exact or, like, if he was wrong or what he was saying or not. But I just think he wasn't willing to get ugly. and he doesn't want to get ugly in the sense of who he is and what he wants to do. Yeah. So I think that's why he apologized. And but on the flip side of being like in my competitive spirit, it's like, nigga, you are a lyricist. Get in there. You can be a technician and not like assassinate his character and like his real self. Right. Just pick apart his music, pick apart a line that you think is corny. See a meme, talk about a meme. Like, you know what I mean? Be a technician with your words and you can tear him apart, you know, respectfully. You know what I'm saying?
And I did feel like he did go after his music mainly.
Right.
But
I think it's what was said online and how they were trying to like, Nick, you need to kill him. It's war. Like, and that's not J. Cole.
Not at all.
Not. So I kind of understand both sides. I know Joe Budden is like, enough. He's done. He's like, you're a pussy. Fuck you. I mean, he did say like, you know, I get if you're not going to be about it, then bow out.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to be, then, you know, let the real niggas go at it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was kind of being a little funny with him. And I didn't really like that, but I get where he's going, but don't start something and then say, I'm sorry. Like, I get it, but then it's not a good look for your resume.
No, it's not.
As a rapper.
Is that song still streaming or did he take it down?
I don't think he took it down yet, even though he said he did, or he told his manager or whatever, like, take that down. It's getting streams.
I'm sure there's contracts and stuff that are in place too, probably. Like, that he probably can't be like, nah, cut it.
Probably.
He would have had to do it before the album came out, I would imagine.
Right. And so, like, so from a little birdie that's going around, Drake already has something done.
Oh, geez.
And it's ready to drop. So they said they was supposed
to light skin problems.
Right. But you know, but Drake come, you know, when he had that little bout with what's his name? Pusher T. You know what I mean? He came through with that and he ended that.
Yeah.
He ended that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if you really want to talk about it, lyrically, Pusher is a better lyricist than Drake.
Yeah, definitely.
You know what I mean?
Drake is good for a catchy little bop.
A catchy little bop and a good comeback. And just because of who he is, he can come hard with a reaction. So I'm really, really interested to see what Drake has in the chamber and what he's about to let loose. So I am very, very, very interested to see what's going on.
I can't even read your whole comment, but I feel you.
What are they saying?
Said, can you believe this rich people problems? Come on, look what the media does. If it didn't put out this information, how would we know? The big boss sits back and laughs. I don't know. But
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is rich people problems. But I mean, we're talking about music and I'm breaking it down as like music, like lyrically what's going on. Who is the best rapper? Mm-hmm. Like who has the most influence? I think
who's your favorite of the three? It's a hard question.
That is a hard question because I do fuck with J. Cole.
He got and, on my lap so quick.
And, like, I don't know what you're talking about, dude. But J. Cole is definitely, I fuck with him. That's why it just killed me when he said sorry.
Right.
It was like, fuck, nigga. Like you're one
business.
Of my, right. You're one of my number ones. And Kendrick, I would pick Kendrick and J. Cole before Drake. Drake is just, to me, a real catchy dude. I mean, he made his impact. He's undeniable in who he is.
Yeah.
But if we're talking about best rapper alive, because when I think of best rapper alive, I am going to think about your lyrics.
Yeah.
It's not just going to be because you're a superpower. Yeah, your superpower as a rapper. I mean, that's a part of it. Mm-hmm. And your influence is a part of it. But to me, when you're talking about being the best rapper, that's lyrically, that's going into your actual work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So,
I honestly feel like it's a tie between J. Cole and Kendrick as far as lyricism, if that's a word.
Yeah, it is. I think it is. It is today.
It is
on this pod. But yeah, like, they definitely are neck and neck. I hate that he said sorry, but I mean, it's not like he ended his career. And then they were kind of like, you know, speculating on if he's retiring, if that's why he said that, or if there's something else coming that he just doesn't want to be a part of.
Mm.
So it could be not like, oh, I'm sorry and I'm scared. It could be some other things behind that too. So we don't know.
Yeah. And I feel like he's like one of those peace and love type of people.
He is. He's earthy. He's just trying to be positive.
Speaking of which, we have something to watch today.
Oh, what?
The Bob Marley movie is on Paramount Plus.
Oh, very good. Yes. I definitely want to watch that. I want to watch that too. Okay, yeah, we could watch that for sure.
Speaking of earthy.
Earthy, right, right, right. And, you know, people tore that apart, but I actually talked to somebody that is Jamaican, and he said that he didn't really have a problem with it. Like, yeah. It was, as far as it being, like, an American movie, like, it was a pretty good depiction.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then for you to understand, because when I listen to Bob Marley, I can't understand what he's saying.
No, half of the time. I love Bob Marley.
I mean, I can hear, I understand, but it's like when he's like talking, like when he's sitting and talking like with his brethren.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't follow it very good.
Yeah, I have a friend whose uncle comes to visit from Jamaica sometimes, mm-hmm. and I cannot understand anything he says.
Yo, when Gil gets into his little, stuff, I can't understand what he's saying either. Shout out to Gil, man.
Yeah,
sure. I miss you, man. Where you at? Goddamn. Mm-hmm. I know he watch our live. But yeah. So I think it's really interesting. I'm excited. This is like the first time I've been kind of excited about some rap. I don't want to say rap beef, but like rap competition.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, who's going to be the best? Who's going to come out with a nice good little punch? Who's going to be, quick with the insults and stuff like that? So
you still didn't say who your favorite was.
It's a tie for me between
Kendrick
Cole
and J. Yeah. That's how I feel too. But Kendrick, I don't know, something about Kendrick sometimes sings to my spirit, I guess.
Well, he's from Compton. He's really about his shit. Yeah. He's a grimy Nick. Like, you know what I'm saying? He got it from the mud.
J. Cole, DeVille.
Yeah. Well, I mean, compared to Compton, that's not.
I mean, no. Well, no. I don't know.
No. That's two different kind of killer places.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
it's small town in the Ville.
Yeah. Compton is big and a lot more dangerous, especially back when they were growing up and things like that. Mm. But yeah, I guess if I'm going to give the edge a little bit, I'm going to give it to Kendrick because he is, he's going to.
Yeah, that's kind of how I feel too.
Mm-hmm. And then I listened to the Like That song off of Metro Boom, Future and Metro Booming. And damn, why am I having a hard time saying that shit? Well, you know what? I want to say Metro Booming. I want to sing the shit. I don't want to say his name. I want to sing his name. But when I went back to, he was being a technician in there. He was saying, fuck y'all, ain't no big three, it's a big me. I love that line. I was like, okay, nigga, we hear you. So I thought that was interesting. I'm excited to see what Drake has. So we will stay tuned for that.
Tuning in.
Mm-hmm. What else
we got?
Well,
R.I.P. O.J.
Oh, yes, O.J.
Like, R.I.P.-ish for sure.
Why ish?
Because he murdered his wife. What do you mean?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that.
Hey, if it doesn't fit, you must eat quick. No. We know that nigga could.
For sure.
But I guess, R.I.P. What is it? Orenthal?
Something like that.
Orenthal something junior, some shit. But yeah, I guess, we all, it has a past.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's kind of ironic that he had prostate cancer because that means he can't get it up anymore. Mm. So I wonder how long he had that,
Well, RIP. He'll be all right.
Well, what about the JT and Young Miami beef?
So I don't know too. You said, surprisingly, a little more about this. Go ahead and educate me, honey. I heard a little bit, but
essentially, JT and Young Miami were going back and forth on Twitter, and apparently they had a conversation on the phone, and then immediately after they got off the phone, the tweet went out talking about, I forget what she said exactly, hold on. Dang, just completely
lost my neck. So they
pieced
it, I did hear they had a little talk.
Yeah, they had a talk, and they ended up making up at the end.
Okay.
Of
all of this.
Yeah, at the end of all of it. Okay. But let me see, JT, Young Miami.
But you know what? I'm happy to see that both of them are like living separately or like able to make their money separately and stuff, because I know that's important.
Yeah.
When you come out as a group and then you try to find your identity as yourself, even though they're two, two different women.
Yeah.
And then Then how JT was in jail for a little bit. And then
I just
she
feel
got
like
to be.
Young Miami really carried it, or Carisha, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I feel like she really carried it for them, and they never really had a chance together to like really be a group. You
and
know it what
almost
I mean?
Like the their fans almost pit them against each other in a little bit, or like just social media or whatever. They just kind of put Like they had to be at odds or whatever. And, you know, there's that thing again with putting black women at odds with each other. Like, we just can't have healthy competition. It's right. Like we have to hate each other type right. thing. And I really hate that. So what was going on?
So pretty much Young Miami tweets, I ain't jealous of a soul. I'm always like, go, bitch, go. Mm. I clap for everybody. I show love to everybody. It ain't a bitch I haven't shown love to. Mm. JT tweets, oh, Ms. Mama, this your last day playing dumb. Mm. So then Young Miami replies and says, a bitch been sneak dissing me for weeks and I ain't say shit. What a bitch mad at me for? Mm. JT says, I know I come off crazy, but never in my life did no whack shit to this girl. She literally enjoys seeing me being dragged when people show me love. She goes crazy and call it a hate train. But like I said, we can sit and talk about it. Hmm. It'll be too much for me to tweet. I would like a sit down, Carisha, please. And this time leave Santana home. Yeah, Miami says, here we go. Okay. And it goes on.
Because Santana, he'd be talking that shit too.
Yeah.
That nigga be talking that shit.
And they are like yelling at each other in capital letters.
Oh, wow.
But she's like, you let the internet put your head that I'm jealous of you. Young Miami says this. Mm. And then, I mean, it's a lot. They went back and forth
for a long time.
But at the end
of it. So they pieced it up, though.
Yeah, at the end of it, Young Miami said, hey, I love you. Mm-hmm. I'm moving on. I wish you the best.
Okay.
And then to that, JT said, I love you more. I love you the most. And that was it.
Okay. So
they made up.
Yeah. It was probably just, you know, girls can be bitches as hell.
But taking it to the internet, though?
Yeah, that's kind of.
Doing a little much.
Well, maybe.
I guess views and likes.
Yeah, it could just make a good entertainment. It mm-hmm. could have been a real thing, but why not? Let's make some entertainment. Let's put some eyes on it.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows what kind of conversation? You know, people troll. There could have been a whole trolling thing.
Right.
We really taking it serious. Like, right. We're just eating it up as consumers, so you just never know.
JT had a week, though, because she also got into it with Glorilla.
So what happened with Glorilla? Not my boo. You know, I love me some Glorilla. She young, but she kind of cute. And I really don't like them skinny like that.
Yeah.
But it's just something. She is cute. And her little glow up ain't too bad.
No, her glow up is great. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for her. But pretty much, Young Miami, what am I saying? Mm-hmm. Glorilla had a bar in her song mm-hmm. talking about her and JT aren't friends, but they aren't beefing. Then JT made some post pretty much saying, like, we are beefing, like, because you said that you hit me or slapped me mm-hmm. at some event and you never hit me, is what she said. Mm-hmm. And Glorilla said, well, I hit you with a purse. I mean,
that's hitting you.
I hit you. Mm-hmm. And JT just pretty much was like, fuck you. Like, done.
Okay, so she just falling out with everybody. She just having it pissed off.
Pretty much.
You big mad.
Pretty much. Big mad. But other than that, I know you didn't watch The Golden Bachelor, did you?
I watched like one episode.
Well, they got married like almost immediately after.
So who did he pick? Did he pick?
Teresa was her name.
A white woman?
Uh-huh.
Was there a black person on there?
There was, but... And she made it to like the final three or four.
Really?
Yeah.
They probably just had her in mm-hmm. there for the black. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they are getting divorced 3 months later. And it's just funny to me because it's like you feel like older people make better decisions.
Right.
But like...
He was cheating?
I don't know. They just said... They said it's because they couldn't make up where they wanted to live. Like, what... Like between you know, South Carolina I can see and some New old, Jersey.
I can see some old people falling out about that.
Yeah. So I don't know. But kind of disappointing because I was rooting for them.
Damn. Mm-hmm. And he was cute. He was a nice looking little old man. 78?
Something like that.
Yeah. And he was looking young and vibrant.
Yeah, definitely.
He looked like his little thing get up and he'd be trying to use it.
There was another lady on there. I forget what her name was. Mm. But I liked her way more for him than the lady that he picked. Mm,
maybe they're talking on the, you know, who knows? He might be getting, have his little boo already lined up.
Right.
People be moving quick on it.
What you think about the Meg video?
You know I have a thing for Meg.
How many times did you watch it?
I don't want to disclose that. That's my business. And, you know, in my walls business. And, no, but I just, you know, something about me. And she's really worked on her body. Mm-hmm. Her body looks good.
It does.
It looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to just Okay. But, I mean, just one little peek. Just let me just take a little peek. Just make sure everything's how it's supposed to be. And we don't ever have to talk about it again. And I won't tell no damn body. Mm. I won't even tell y'all. I just sitting here looking. If I'm looking real...
Cheshire Caddish.
You see some new hardware around my neck. You already know. But she looks good. I just love Meg. I really love Meg. Like, she... If I could find me someone that, like, a Meg, like 5'11", you know, I like a tall one. We picking up a whole bunch of.
Okay.
Oh, some more black people around.
That's the same ones from the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Well, one of them.
Yeah, that other one looks new. Y'all need to shut the
We get so distracted so easily.
We definitely do. It's terrible. Well, they need to make this door a little better.
Right, because I can definitely hear them in my headphones.
So yeah, that's crazy. Loud.
But talk to me about this podcast.
So I watched this podcast. I forget the dude. It's like he used to be in the CIA, and he has like a lot of like vets on there and stuff. And so he had this lady on there. Her name is... what is her name? Yanmi Park. Anyway, so she's North Korean, and she was on there. She was on there for like 3 hours, and she was just talking about her whole experience coming from North Korea, which I did not know how terrible North Korea is.
North Korea is crazy.
They don't even have electricity. Like, there now, right now, there is no electricity, no running water. Like, when at night, if they say on the satellites, you'll see everything lit up around it. But in North Korea, it is literally, it's a black hole. Mm. They say it's the darkest place on earth.
That's crazy.
And she was just talking about how people there, the reason why they're so small and little is because they are starving. So they have the regime, they call, like, the government, mm-hmm. they call the regime mm-hmm. there. They pretty much control everything. And so mm-hmm. they, like, back in the, like, the 1950s, they took they did this whole thing where they wanted. So basically how they do classism there is not, because in Korea, everyone is Korean. There's mm-hmm. no
yeah.
little tribes and everything right. like that. So there's not a way. Like how we have black and then like as a pedestal, they don't have that.
Mm-hmm.
So they do it by if you've done crimes, and then if you've done a crime, your whole family can go to jail. They took away everyone's ability to own everything in the event of trying to create wealth gap.
Okay.
And they thought that by not allowing anyone to own anything and how the regime owning it,
mm-hmm.
that it would level out everybody, mm-hmm. but it didn't because mm-hmm. there's bad people in the regime. Mm-hmm. And so they took everyone's thing, everyone's land, and then they were forcing people to have farms and then pretty much not letting them get the food or giving them enough. They make people into spies. They don't have a concept of love. There's no word in their language for love. There's no it's different.
Oh, I didn't know
so
that.
Yeah, so
I thought Korean was Korean.
Huh. It's different. So or it may be the same, but I think in yeah there it has to
maybe
be a
it's
dialect.
Like a different dialect.
Yeah, it's a different dialect. So there's no I, and so their whole concept is the people. Not there's no I, there's no individuality, there's none of that. So when there's no concept of I and things like that, then they have no concept of like a God. Their God was their dictator. And everything is to make the dictator, like, he has like 10,000 doctors that work on him every day to prolong his life.
Kim Jong-un?
Yeah.
Oh.
And the doctors only paid a $1 salary.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So there's no money there. People are on the especially back in the day, the starvation was so great. So anyway, so she's older than us. I think she's in her 40s.
Okay.
And so in 2007 is when she actually escaped Korea. And how she did that was through sex trade.
Oh, my gosh. And I was wondering, because you really can't get out of North Korea.
No.
Like, you can't come to the United States right. if you're North Korean.
Right. If you know English, they will kill you on spot.
Mm.
And then they have no regard for life. So they kill babies all the time. They give you a portrait of the Kim Jong-un, whatever his name is. They give him a, you have to protect that. Like, if you get a bend on it, you can go to jail. It's like you have to, the most prestigious way of dying is dying protecting that portrait.
Wow.
Of this guy. Like, that's, they make you, she said that she was so brainwashed that she thought the government can read her mind.
That's
because
crazy.
She didn't know what the other world, she didn't know what anything looked like. She, when they were, so how they tried to escape was they just knew that they had to get away. There was no word for escape.
Okay.
Because they didn't teach them.
Oh, wow.
You know, they raised them so blind and loyal.
It's almost like being raised in a cult.
Yeah, right, mm-hmm. Right. And so when you don't have certain concept, like there's no concept of love and caring, mm-hmm. it's only for the regime. Mm-hmm. How you can, like your whole life is to be for the regime. Mm. And so anyway, so how she ended up, I just thought this was so interesting. Mm-hmm. So how she ended up getting out was through sex trade. How that happened was at night they would, because it's so dark there, they would always see light. In okay. China, and they knew that was China over there.
Okay.
But they didn't even understand, like, what, they just seen light.
Okay.
They didn't know how they were going to get there, what it mean to get there, nothing. What language, nothing. And so they met this lady that was pretty much like a madam, in a sense. She was getting, well, she wasn't really a madam. This was the only way that she can get, she had, like, daughters herself that she sold into the sex trade to keep them from starving to death. And she said somehow she got a hold of this woman, and she was like the only, she didn't even tell them that they were going into sex slavery, because there's no words for this.
Okay.
They're just saying first her sister went, and then the sister gave her the information to contact this lady. And then the lady said to them, I'm going to get you to where your sister is at. And so she begged her mom, because her mom didn't want to leave the dad. But the dad couldn't leave because they would have known he was gone and it would have messed up the whole thing. So they had to leave him and then come back for him eventually somehow. And so anyway, so they end up getting into the sex slave thing, and then she was raped many times, sold off to different places. She had to sell her own mom. She was a gangster owned her at one moment, and then another gangster kidnapped her from another person.
Oh my
gosh. And then that person sent for her dad to because they would, what they would do is they would get these North Koreans and make them as slaves to get out of North Carolina, out of North Korea. So anyway, it was just like this terrible thing. She went through the sex trafficking just to get out of there. And then how she ended up getting out of the sex trafficking was she met some Christian missionaries.
Okay.
And they had to cross some kind of crazy desert.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes a whole 24
it's like
hours.
The, what do they call
it? It's like
that?
A jungle.
It's like the
Mongolian. I think it's
a demilitarized zone, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, but it was still, they were bribing, because North Korean soldiers were there guarding it.
Okay.
So they were bribing them, and then they only traveled on when it was 42 below zero. She said when she was breathing, she literally was seeing her breath turn into ice.
Yeah, I believe it.
And so that was how she traveled. And it took a whole day to get there. And it was, I think, three of them that traveled together. Because one girl was waiting for a long, long time. And then she got her and her mom and this girl. And they finally got over there. And then they had to study the Bible. So they had to study the Bible for 7 months. And then they were able to get into China or go to another place in Mongolia,
okay,
or something like that. And then she finally got away, and then, you know, her story went from there. But I just thought it was, the things that she went through, was so terrible. Mm-hmm. Like just the whole sex trafficking. And she was like, this I thought was really interesting. She was like, when they were raping her, they would do it in front of everybody. And then when you were owned, you wasn't just raped by the person that owned you. You was raped by whoever they let. Mm. So if they had a party that night, you were passed around that whole night.
That's terrible.
And then it was just the ugliness. And then she didn't understand what was going on for like the longest time. Mm. And because she had, I couldn't imagine not ever telling my parents I love you, or even having that concept mm-hmm. of love. And that is like so definitive to a human. Mm-hmm. And then she told a story where she was in the hospital. And this is when she was saying that North Korea has no regard for life. There was piles, they used to pile up the bodies. Mm. And she said she seen one lady on top of there and she was still alive, but the rats ate her eyes and the lady was still moving. And yeah.
That's
it was
a lot.
It was
trigger warning for
yeah,
anybody.
Yeah, trigger warning. But it
you
was just
said that first.
So it was definitely. Do we have anything else to talk about before we go into
No, girl, topic? But it's 3:51.
Oh damn. So so anyway, so going into the main, so the reason why I wanted to talk about that is because one thing that I thought was really, really interesting was when she came to America and she told her story and she was in therapy because she went to a lot of psychotherapy and all that stuff. And how she felt like the therapist and things were saying like they don't know how she's normal. You need to be taking medicine. Mm-hmm. You can't be right in your mind. You can't be this. And she just really felt like that was off-putting because she really believed in resilience mm-hmm. and believing in herself and trying to come back and not living in her past. And she felt like American therapy was like this victim mm-hmm. blaming type. Or not victim blaming, but like victimization, mm-hmm. like making yourself more of a victim or like making yourself feel even worse, like not wanting to see the light or see the positives, just wanting to like stay there.
Yeah.
And then I thought that was really interesting because I think there's a correlation with that in medicine
yeah.
in America where they just kind of want to keep you sick, keep mm-hmm. you in this yeah. in this sad state.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like therapy has really helped me. And being medicated has really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have differing views there. But
well, I mean, I think I guess in maybe who she was seeing because of the gravity of what she went through. Not saying
they were probably that went, shocked.
They, like, yeah, so shocked, yeah. and mm-hmm. she's just like operating businesses as usual,
right?
And I think that's what she. Yeah, maybe that's what she was more.
Yeah.
You know, talking about
yeah,
like
I could
how
see
can
that.
She operate business as normal and you've been raped.
Countless
200
times.
Yeah. And then it was really crazy because the guy asked her, and I felt like this was a little tone deaf for him to ask how many times you were raped.
But then
he backed it up by saying he just wanted to show how serious this was and what she went through when the answer is I can't tell you how many times I was raped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for someone that hasn't been raped, I just think
yeah, that was definitely tone deaf. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe it.
Yeah, it's like, how could you even ask that? You should have maybe asked it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Just set it up differently. But I just...
But, like, the thing is, like, who would count how many times they got raped? Like, that's a dumb question.
Right. It was like, very... But he was a man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was very tone deaf. I didn't like that. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, like, it just also... even with the English barrier, like resilience doesn't need, you know, all of the understanding. It's like almost the innate nature mm-hmm. of a human to try to survive,
mm-hmm.
to try to make it through, even if you don't even understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Like that woman is so resilient.
Honestly.
Just going through that. And she's so small in nature. And when she was talking about it, like she was just crying through talking about it. Like it's just so... It was just so sad and just
yeah.
so moving. I couldn't.
The funny thing about resilience is that like obviously I've not been through anything near as bad as
mm-hmm.
that. But
mm-hmm.
like for me, I always said, oh, I'm so resilient. The therapist always said she's so resilient.
Mm-hmm.
But really, I just wasn't dealing with the problem.
Right.
And
right.
that's why like when she's talking about it, she's crying because she hasn't dealt with the problem.
Right, right.
And it's like, I don't know.
I don't know about that because like when I talk about my brother, I can always cry.
But you still have really deep emotions tied to that.
Right.
It's not like you're over. That's not something you'll ever get over.
Right. Well, oh, yeah, yeah. And so, I guess she'll never get over that.
Yeah, I would imagine not. Right. I would imagine not. But, I mean, being resilient and strong and, like, taking on every day, mm-hmm. like, it's a good day, being positive. Like, right. that's amazing, especially mm-hmm. for someone that's been through that.
Right.
But I do feel like she definitely probably has some things she needs to deal with.
And I think that also goes into what I saw this other thing with the dude named, his name is Guru, and he's an Indian kind of philosopher kind of guy. And I want to say, I mean, he might be a monk, I'm not too sure, don't quote me on that, but his name is Guru. And he was just talking about how like choosing, and I talk about this a lot, like choosing your happiness, choosing, like, we're human beings, we are here, here to have this experience and navigate our own experience mm-hmm. and not be, because he was talking about the difference between being a creature and being a being. Mm-hmm. A being is able to have the ability to control your emotions and be able to navigate through it and make the best of it. Mm-hmm. And then being a creature, you're just reacting to your environment.
Right.
You're not really putting any thought into it. You're not digging deep.
It's like living in survival mode.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, you know, what he was saying, like we're living, 99% of us are living under this, you know, unhappiness, operating off of autopilot.
Yeah.
You know, life is set up in such an automatic way with this mundane of going your 9 to 5 mm-hmm. or whatever it is. And you're just in autopilot just to get through, just waiting for your day off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I find myself doing that. Yeah. I can't wait till my fucking day off.
I know, I swear. I've been counting down the days of the weekend.
Or just like to get off of work. Mm-hmm. I be dragging all through work, but then all of a sudden, when I get close to getting off of work,
you get hype.
Got all the energy in the world. And you know, and that's something that I struggle with a lot. You know, just I have to get up and do this. I have to, because I like my lifestyle, I have to go to work. Someone has to tell me what to do today.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I don't like it.
And I don't like it. I don't like to be told what to do. You know, and that's something I have to dig deep and change. It takes discipline to, okay, like, you know, trying to do the podcast. I mean, I know we couldn't live our lives off of this right now, but, you know, but we could always put more, you know, effort into
yeah,
it
for sure.
to make it better. So it just puts things in, you know, when you look at your life and you see hers, it's like, God, I ain't been through shit.
Right.
And
right.
she's still here. You know, walking
yeah.
and telling her story.
Yeah, which is amazing. And just the fact that she's willing to share her story is amazing because
right.
it's hard to talk about stuff like that.
And then maybe coming, like, just a thought, like, maybe she went through that just to tell her story.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing, like, it wasn't because you did this or did that or you're special or anything. You literally went through the strife to tell how to get through it,
mm-hmm.
to tell your experience. And I think that that's really important. And I think that's important why we have this podcast, to tell experiences.
Yeah, I agree. We need to have some more guests so we can hear other people's experiences too.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. We do need to have some perspective other than us, even though ours is rather interesting.
I do agree.
But yeah. So, I mean, other than like I know resilience can be like, especially with Black women, be strong and do all that. You know, it can go, it's like a double-edged sword a little
yeah.
bit, or can be viewed that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that's very, very interesting. Her story is just very moving.
Very.
Very, very moving. But yeah, her name is, I'm going to spell it, Y-E-O-N-M as in Mary, I, Park. And yeah, she's very, very soft-spoken, resilient. That's the only. I mean, just when a dude that is a vet of the war and from the CIA say that, I've never talked to anyone with such a heavy past and has gone through so much than her. That's saying something. That's really saying something.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and another thing that she talked about that was crazy with the starvation thing. She said that the starvation was so great and so regular, she can see the stages of starvation. Because there's a point where you start losing your mind.
Mm.
And then she would say that could look like where you're laughing uncontrollably. You're forgetting people's names. You're talking to people that are not there. And then, like, the last thing with it, she said she's seen a guy where he was starving. It was so bad that she's seen his organs fall out of his back.
This is a lot. This is heavy stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I know, but then the reason why I talk about it is because I wanted to talk about it because, you know, as Black people, we've gone through a lot too. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to see what other, like, Black people are not the only people mm-hmm. that have gone through really terrible things. No. And I just like to show that, you know, we're not the only ones that have gone through a yeah. whole lot of shit.
Yeah.
You know, because I could not, like, I've had a hard life as just being Black, but I ain't gone through no shit like that.
Mm-mm.
That's terrible.
That's absolutely terrible.
And it makes me thankful, you know, for
like,
the...
I'm so thankful that I was born in the United States.
In the United States, exactly.
I swear. Because, even though it was in little old Iowa.
Because sometimes I'd be like, why did I have to be the Black person that grew up poor and do all that? Like, why was I picked for this? But then this... why did I have to be picked to be raped a million times?
Right.
Just to tell my damn story?
Right.
No rhyme or reason for it. This is how I was born. It was a mistake. I wasn't taken from nowhere. This is where I'm from.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
It is crazy.
That's crazy. I could not imagine.
There's so much to be thankful for.
There is so much. And I'm sorry that it got a little deep with it, but it's just, it puts that I'm thankful.
Yeah.
Humbleness.
Yeah.
Because we need that. We need yeah. to be thankful because we can get past ourselves. We need that humbleness.
Yeah.
I know I do.
Yeah. I think it's easy to, like, focus on the negative. Like, mm-hmm. you know, some of my, like, family stuff is a little weird.
Right.
But it's like, if I focus on the family members that do right. show up for me and
right.
that love me unconditionally, like, that is such a more positive way to look at it mm-hmm. than, like, what I don't have with other members of my family.
Right. Right.
So that's something that I've been working on. And even, like, seeing my family last weekend, it, like, energized me for, like, a couple
Yo,
of days.
That
like,
was, it was, good. It was really nice. It was, yeah. I even felt the energy mm-hmm. and they were, you know, like I said, last pod, they're great people. So no, that is, it's just interesting. I'm definitely grateful. I'm so happy to not be an alcoholic. Well, I guess you're always going to be that.
Technically.
Technically.
Yeah.
But to not be in that, you know, state. I'm coming up on, you know, a whole year,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, a beautiful thing in itself. But
I feel bad that my surgery is, like, right before it.
I know. It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. It's also teaching me, like, every little milestone, we ain't got to party it up. You know
but
what I mean?
But that's not a little milestone. That's a year of being sober.
It is a big deal.
Have to celebrate once I'm, like, back to it.
Yeah. We'll just do something little quick or whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy. But yeah, I am thankful. I'm definitely thankful for just the little things, and I try to have gratitude every day.
Yeah. I do too. Like, I know you've heard me say it, like, I'm mm-hmm. thankful. Like, I'm
yeah, you have
so
been
thankful.
Saying that a lot lately.
Because I'm blessed in a lot of ways, and it's just like sometimes it's just hard to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I don't know, I just feel you get caught up in your thoughts.
Yeah, you get caught up in your everyday, you know, what you need to do, what you're lacking.
Mm-hmm.
You get caught up in that
mm-hmm.
and you forget, you know, to just stay put, be present and mm-hmm. smell the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's so important to be present sometimes. Just
when
I say we don't need to rush all the time,
right.
That's me attempting to slow it down. And
I
just
like to
enjoy.
Rush to get home.
Right. Because you don't like to be around people.
No.
But it's okay. And it's getting hot outside, so we're going to be outside.
Okay.
Yeah. Get used to it. We're going to do it.
Nicole will be happy to hear this.
Hey, report back. Sometimes I wish I need to have a little session with her to just compare some goddamn notes. I don't know what she's been saying, but let me tell you the real. No.
Crazy.
No, I know you be telling the truth. No, but yeah, I thought that was interesting. I wanted to talk about that in the podcast.
Yeah, that definitely is interesting, and I definitely think it's a good message to choose happiness and just remember all the positives instead of focusing on the negatives.
Yeah, because it's so easy to do that.
It really is.
Just to be negative Nancy all fucking day.
Yeah, it's like you get in a bad mood and then you're just stuck mm-hmm. there. Like,
and you know, I can recognize now, like when I'm in a like a little sour ass mood and like I get so negative
mm-hmm.
and I'll just start complaining about mm-hmm. every fucking thing and I'll be like, you know what? I need to stop.
Yeah,
it ain't that bad.
Yeah,
I'm just focusing on all the wrong things in my life right now and half of that shit I can't even change. You
for me,
I mean?
I noticed that if I listen to, like, my favorite songs,
mm.
it totally changes my mood.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It makes me hyper low-key. I don't know why music makes me hyper, but it
you
does.
Do, you do. When you were you was texting me the other day, and you were, I think I was at work, and you were like, I'm listening to something, and I'm super hyper now.
I was. I definitely was.
But no. But yeah, that and you know what? That's going to help you with your whole journey, just like music and finding other things to fill the time of the thoughts of wanting that carb.
The only thing that I'm nervous about is how bad my shopping habit is going to get. That's my only concern. Because if I'm not spending money on food, that's going to save me a lot of money because I DoorDash every day at least once.
Yeah.
So not spending money on food is going to save me a lot of money, and then I'm going to have no other vices. We have nothing better to do than just go ahead and shop a little bit.
Well, you're going to have, I think you need to slow down on the shopping right now because you
I haven't actually shopped much.
Okay. But
my ice maker, I guess.
Well, that was okay. I'm saying as far as clothes wise, you know that you're going to be looking different here in the next couple of months. So there's kind of no point.
Yeah, there's really no point right now. And yes, y'all are going to catch me in some baggy t-shirts.
Hey, but that means progress.
Yes.
And you know, the bag is in, you know, the baggy is cute. Yeah. It's a nice little tights on.
Yeah.
You'll be all the way. I can't wait, friend.
Oh, man. I'm excited too. Yeah. I'm just nervous.
You're nervous, but focus on more of the positive. I know it's hard right now because you can't have what you want.
Yeah.
But like I said,
but even that part's not as, that not like scary. Mm. It's just, I think after
the lifetime
commitment. And I think like, talking to the anesthesia people made me nervous about going under.
Oh, what were they saying?
She was concerned about my heart murmur that I had when I was a child, talking about I need to go see a cardiologist first before they put me under anesthesia, even though I've been under anesthesia many times in my adult life.
Well, it's good to know that they're covering their back.
Yeah, but then she wanted to rub in the fact that I can't eat anything or do anything for the rest of my life. And I was just like, thanks so much for just reminding me as if I don't have the paperwork that tells me this.
Right, right. But she's just sticking it home. She's doing the right thing.
When I was talking to Nicole about it this morning, she was like, that's honestly kind of unethical, because she was saying things like, if you don't stick to the diet, you're going to be right back up at 300 pounds. That's what she said. Yes, I'm big right now. But that's what she said to me. And, like, that's, like, completely unprofessional. You know what I mean?
Wow, I didn't know she said that. Or I missed when she told me that.
Yeah, I don't think I said that.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
And not to mention, you know, before I had my weight, I was like 287, I think I seen on the scale. So it's easy. It's easy to get up there.
I can't believe how much weight I gained, but we're fixing it.
Yeah, you're fixing it. And that and you we've been this has been a year of doing this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And you haven't gained a whole significant amount of weight in the time period. So that was good. You're doing good, friend. You're doing as good as you can.
Yes.
And it's hard. This is a hard thing. This shit is hard.
It is.
It's
hard. Just got to keep my positive pants on.
Right. And I'm going to be here for you. And look, and we have goals on what we want to do. We want to get on that beach. We want to tan our little our clear-ass bodies. Because I'm wearing this white today, and I'm damn near matching the shit. I'm like, God damn, Nikki. I'm looking more red than anything.
We about to get our summer color together.
Yes, I definitely. And that's crazy that you're mixed and you're fucking darker than me. That is just so wild. Just so, yes, I'm black, and I'm clear, but yeah. So this is great. I'm excited because even though you don't want to talk about it, we're gonna be doing stuff on the outside. I'm gonna get you moving. We're gonna do it. It's gonna be fun. We're gonna want to do it. We're gonna see how our bodies look, and we're gonna be wanting to be cute. And it's gonna.
Last time I lost weight, I still was in the house the whole time.
But we're not doing that. I wasn't bestie back then. You wanted to be, but I was running away from you.
Yes, you were.
Which I don't even know why. I don't even understand.
Because I probably came on a little strong because I just knew in my gut what it was. Mm. But, you know.
But I didn't like, like that. It was just, I think it was because the Hugo Gang stuff. That took a lot of my time. Mm-hmm. And then I was in a little piece of relationship or getting out of that. And probably being a bit of a hoe.
Everything happened for a reason. Yeah. Like, I'm glad we're at now,
right,
for sure.
Right. Yeah, this is good. This is good. But I think that was a good pod.
We still have one more thing.
Oh, what else you want to talk about?
WPS.
Oh, okay. So I know black folks know this, I know, but you know, I take care of pretty much old white folks all the time. And I just be looking at their damn skin. And then I remember looking at my grandma's skin. You know, she was 80, 86, you know. And her skin never really, the only thing I noticed about her skin was it was a little bit droopy. She had a little bit of the jowls and a thin little ha-cha-cha right there. But when it's just, I would be sad. Because to me, what I notice is like their skin looks cancerized when they get like 90-something years old.
Yeah, it looks
old,
all like bruised spotted, and like spotty.
And then it's chipping. Yeah. And like my little guy today, and happy birthday. He turned 93 today. Shout out to that, because that's a fool there. I asked him, I said, how does it feel to be 93? He was like, I don't feel a damn thing. I said, okay.
All right,
I feel you on that. But just the skin be so dry, and I be like, damn, they skin. You really got to, y'all need to start using some lotion, like, now, right now. Mm-hmm. So that's just some white people shit. Oh, and the other white people shit that I had was when white folks be in traffic and y'all be thinking y'all trying to do something and drive real quick and fast, and then you did all that moving around, and then we at the same light, and you don't want to turn your motherfucking head and look at me. And I be staring. I be staring a motherfucking hole in the side of their goddamn head.
I swear, me too. That just happened today, but it wasn't actually a white person, strangely. Oh. But they were from South Carolina, so, they're a little
iffy. Sorry, South Carolinians. And shout out again to, the Gamecocks, the girls, the championship. Yes. I'm so happy.
I'm sad that they didn't get that much press for their whole season.
I know, because they had a perfect fucking season.
Mm-hmm. Like, they should have been, like, all over, but instead it was Angel Reese.
Child. And, I'm happy for her, and I'm sure she's going to do good, in the WNBA and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, and Dawn Staley, she's just a goat.
Honestly.
She's just a goat. And not to mention, her fucking clothes are amazing.
I haven't seen.
Like, I mean, she had pieces. She had like an $8,000 jacket on one.
Dang.
Yeah, her Final Four outfits were crazy.
Ooh.
Louis Vuitton out, Balenciaga down, jacket always matched the shoes. Mm. I mean, just, she was killing them silently. Because she likes the stuff that doesn't have too many logos on it. If you know, you know.
That's like rich people shit.
Yeah, like you just, that's how I would
that's
be.
That's like old money shit. That's not new money shit.
Right. I ain't gonna lie, I guess I'm probably gonna be where you see
logoed out.
Yeah, the repeated Balenciaga on everything. Yes, bitch, I'm probably gonna give me a few outfits like that just to be ignorant and crazy. But yeah, but I think that was it. I think we talked about your dad. Oh, and what to listen to. Everybody, y'all got to go check out the second album this year by Future and Metro Boomin. It's more of like a little R&B little situation. Okay. And it's straight. I listened to it today.
I might have to
and
check
it had some bops on there. I enjoyed it. I have to listen to it again to tell you what my favorites are. But it is a good, little one too.
Okay.
Listen to it. I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, if you have a question, a topic, or you want our advice, write to us at yesweareblack@gmail.com. Do it.
Do it now. I check every week, y'all, motherfuckers.
If you want to follow us on social media, I'm miss.scorpio.nicole on Instagram. And we have Yes, We're Black podcast on Instagram as well. Where can they find you?
They can find me, Who is the Mick with 2 K's on anything.
Awesome. Well, this has been another episode of
Yes, We're Black.
Bye.
Bye, motherfuckers.